Hey everyone, this is Kyle here for the Pro Wrestling Outsider Show, the Pwo Show. Thanks very much for joining us this week. Mark's going to come up later on in the show. As life goes, we're both away on business, unfortunately in separate locations. Otherwise, we would have happily recorded together. But alas, it wasn't meant to be this week. So just wanted to kind of give both our intakes or our takes in terms of TLC. What matches have already been announced, where we might see some of the other matches come along. We only have one episode of SmackDown left in order to kind of wrap up what we're going to see, but we definitely have some questions still to go, so after the break, I will break down my TLC preview, so please stay tuned and hang tight. Thank you so much for sticking around. Once again, this is Kyle here. Mark will be up after the break to give his take, but here is mine. Let's see, lay it out for you. First, I'm going to go through the seven matches that have already been decided, and then maybe throw in a couple more that I think might happen, and we shall go from there. So, that being said, here we are in no particular order, just based on whatever Wikipedia tells me. Up first, we have Roman Reigns versus King Corbin in a TLC tables, ladders, and chairs match. We know we had a very interesting segment last week with Roman eating the dog food. I can't imagine that Dolph won't be involved in this match. Can't say the same for Bobby Roode. Unfortunately, he made a boo-boo with his... I'm not too sure what the story will be, but he definitely is on the suspended list for a violation of the wellness policy. So we'll see how that unfolds, but I can't imagine that Corbin won't continue with his entourage as King Corbin, and he'll, you know, pull many other tricks up his sleeve. Hopefully Roman Reigns will potentially have a partner to help him out. I'm not really sure who could it be. It's tough to say where he kind of all fits in terms of, you know, where his alliances land. He hasn't really had a partner, so to speak, in quite some time. You know, there's the one-offs that we get from some of the other guys. But in the end, I don't think that he'll really have some luck in that direction. So, again, who knows? But I think what will end up happening is I think this is a time for King Corbin to continue his reign. No pun intended. And we'll come out on top with obviously some assistance. I do hope this kind of starts to move away from the King Corbin per se and just keep with Baron Corbin, but don't change what he's doing. I think that he has got a lot to offer. We just need to try and refocus, and just push him as a character and kind of put the King aspect to rest. All right, up next, here we go. We are looking at the New Day as your SmackDown Tag Team Champions, taking on The Revival, who won this past week's four-way elimination match. So we shall see how this unfolds. I can't imagine that we're not going to get a great match out of these two teams. It's tough, though, I think, when you look at the rest of the tag team division on SmackDown. There is a great difference. I don't know, it's terrible wording, but between, you know, your kind of your top tag teams and the rest of the groups. So hopefully we'll find some opportunities here to get some more tag teams in the mix. I would love to see the Usos back at some point in time and maybe get some classic Dudleys, Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian type triple threat tags. But in the end, I think the New Day is going to win. The crowd just pops for them every single time. You know, as soon as Big E gets going, right off the mic, the crowd is all in it. They're really feeling it. So I think they're going to continue the reign as the seven-time champions, much to my own personal chagrin. Businesses with businesses. Up next is the interesting one. It's Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. But what isn't clear is if it's The Fiend Bray Wyatt or regular Bray Wyatt. I think this might be an opportunity here to see the regular Bray Wyatt in action and maybe get a surprise appearance from The Fiend. We still don't know what happened with Daniel Bryan. This might get cleared up tomorrow night's show in terms of what's happening with him. Are we going to get a new look from Daniel Bryan? I feel like maybe we're going to see another shaved-headed Daniel Bryan, or at least a short haircut to try and cover up whatever hair was ripped out of his head. But in this particular match, Bray Wyatt versus The Miz, I can't imagine The Miz is walking out successfully in this one. The only way this happens is if they truly do keep the two characters separate, and Bray Wyatt is just the peaceful guy who's caught on the wrong side, and The Miz takes advantage and comes out the win. Up next is I think it's going to be a great match. Whether it shows up on the pre-show much or not, I'm not too sure. But Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy. It's been kind of a weak build. Aleister Black hasn't really been utilized in the best of manners. He's hanging out in the janitor's closet, waiting for somebody to challenge him, but hasn't really earned it the way he did in NXT. He doesn't carry a belt. He hasn't really had any matches of any true significance in the grand scheme of power rankings, so to speak. So this kind of lead up has been really weak. However, I do think they're going to put on a hell of a match. I think that they have very complementary styles, and this is definitely going to be something that is going to be worth watching, and it might actually steal the show. All right, up next, we have the Kabuki Warriors taking on Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair for the Women's Tag Team Championship in a TLC match as well. I don't even know where this one's going. It just seems like they just don't quite know how to move on from Becky and Charlotte being the top two females on Raw. It's very clear that that's the case. They're head and shoulders above the rest. So unless Nia Jax is going to come back, or you're going to get Ronda Rousey come out of a surprise appearance, or Shayna Baszler for that matter, this is going to be kind of, I think, the status quo for the next little while. Is these tag matches. We haven't really utilized the Women's Tag Team Championship all that effectively. I guess this is one way to do it. I kind of feel like Becky Two Belts is going to come back in this one. Becky and Charlotte, maybe with the win. If not, I feel like it'll be one of them turns on the other to lose the belts, and then it creates another storyline between the two of them. I can't imagine anything else kind of really fits into this situation. All right, up next is a tables match and probably one of the worst storylines in recent years. Rusev versus Bobby Lashley with Lana. I was reading somewhere that somebody had tweeted out that what should really happen is they should do a shark cage match, put Lana in the shark cage, but the losing person gets to keep Lana instead of the winning person. This story has just gone off the rails. I just haven't quite figured out yet if it's terrible on purpose or not. Lana's acting is so bad, but again, it could be so good because it seems so bad. So still haven't figured out this one out yet. We're gonna get a tables match. I don't know where you go from here. I don't really know what the end game is. I think Rusev comes out with the win. I think he deserves it. And then hopefully this is kind of where they leave things go, and Rusev goes off and starts really getting back into the ring and seeing what happens. All right, so the last match that's actually scheduled right now is the Viking Raiders taking on To Be Determined. And it's kind of a for the Raw Tag Team Championship, which is kind of weird because we've already kind of wrapped up Raw for before TLC, and there seems to be a recurring theme here with the way things are going, is that we're building towards the next pay-per-view. Not the pay-per-view that's coming up, but the one after that. And so we're not really sure where this goes. Do we see the Lucha House Party? Do we see Street Profits? Do we see the greatest tag team in the world? Like, it's so unclear as to where this all fits because we just don't really have a good indication. And if we're continuously moving forward, and always looking at the next pay-per-view, we just aren't developing the current pay-per-view properly, in my opinion. I think there was ample opportunity to move these stories along. Part of it is maybe the fact that we get our shows on Fridays now, and or our SmackDown on Fridays, and then Raw has our has a, kind of the whole week to own in terms of kind of the conversation and whatnot. So I don't know. It's really tough to say where they're going to go from here. I mean, I think in the end, it doesn't really matter who they face. They're going to win. I think that they kind of made that mistake with the quick pin or the easy pin for the World's Best Tag Team tournament. That I think they're going to keep them as strong as possible going forward. So a couple of the things that we don't really have in the works right now, when I look at, from a Raw side of things, what the possibilities are. So we're looking at Rey Mysterio is still the US Championship, but he doesn't have a match at this moment. But I mean, we don't really have a spot right now because the story wouldn't make any sense. We would just throw in matches together. So maybe they'll show up on the pre-show. Andrade's been getting a great push, but he has nothing right now. I really like to see Andrade versus Rey for the US title. I think that'd be a great match. They put on a hell of a show in the past. We have this really interesting, not too sure yet about story with AOP and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is turning bad again. I just feel like this one doesn't really fit in with everything. I think it doesn't really make sense to where everything is going. But does he face Kevin Owens? Do we get a match this? Are they going to throw this together, or are we saving this for the Rumble? But at the end, are you going to want to save it for the Rumble? Because then you're not going to put either one of those guys in the Rumble, and people want to see them in the Rumble. Doesn't look like we're getting Ricochet on the show. We're not getting any really other than Becky and Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors. We're not getting any other female talent out there. So just from a Raw side, it just seems like we're really Drew McIntyre isn't even involved. It seems like it's really thin for TLC, and I just hope that they take the time to lead up to the Rumble because it will be a full month that we will get some solid storylines leading into the Rumble, and then of course as we segue into the road to WrestleMania that we start building these great storylines so that when we watch our 19,000 hours of WrestleMania, we really feel like it's worth it. On the flip side, so obviously, again, we still have a SmackDown show to go. So maybe perhaps, we'll have some more matches come up. Sheamus is coming back at some point in time. Does he come back with Cesaro and reform the bar? Can't complain if that happens. Cesaro's in this really weird spot with Shinsuke and with Sami Zayn and apparently Mojo Rawley, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I think Sami Zayn is a great manager type. I think we need to bring those guys back because I think some of the talent is really good in the ring, but they lack the personality to carry themselves forward, where a manager would really come in handy. So I am actually liking the Sami Zayn role. I just would prefer Cesaro team up with Sheamus again and bring back the bar and bring another tag team to SmackDown to compete with the big two. Big three, if you want to count the Usos, whenever they get their personal stuff sorted out. In terms of everybody else, I mean, we don't really have anything else really in terms of all the rest of the talent. We're not getting Mustafa Ali. He's really the and Shorty G. And again, there's no other women talent, so there's no SmackDown Women's Belt so, Championship so far. So it's tomorrow's episode of SmackDown is really going to be interesting as to whether we get more stories or whether more matches put out there or if we just kind of shore up the ones that we currently have and maybe it'll be a short pay-per-view. Who knows? Anything is possible. Shinsuke still doesn't have a match. He hasn't really. Hell, his reign as Intercontinental Champion has been lengthy, but has been lackluster. Hasn't really had any good competition, or they haven't really put him in a good spot. So we'll see how it goes. I'm interested to see what happens with Daniel Bryan this Friday, and whether we get two matches from Bray Wyatt or just the one. Does Daniel Bryan turn to the dark side, or will he bring truly bring back the Yes Movement, and finally take down the Fiend. So that being said, that is it for me. Not too long here. Didn't want to bore you guys to death with, the millions of possibilities that this could end up. But Mark will be back after the break to share his thoughts and opinions. A couple other things I just wanted to quickly bring up. Some goodbyes to be said. This week we have said goodbye to Sin Cara. We have said goodbye to Luke Harper. We've said goodbye to a couple of others. There should be still some more to come as it's all said and done. We have some other wrestlers, Mike Kanellis, who's still looking to leave if he ever gets the chance. Just doesn't seem to be kind of in his favor here. Not really sure what's happening, why they haven't really kind of given him the opportunity to hit the bricks, but I'm hoping that means that we'll see something better out of him. I think he's has great in-ring abilities. I think he has, I mean, when he was the Miracle, he was fantastic. So my hope is that they will find a good spot for him. As for Luke Harper, I cannot imagine he's not going to end up in AEW. It makes all too much sense that he ends up there under whatever else they're going to call him. I'm sure the gimmick will be similar, but he has to end up there. It makes all too much sense, given the rest of the talent in AEW, that he doesn't end up there anyways. And that being said, there was somebody else who did get let go. Just perusing the W.com in terms of the former wrestlers. Somehow Curt Hawkins is still around, which is always a bit of a shock. Oney Lorcan, he's the other one that got his release. And then the crazy situation with ACH, Jordan Miles, as he was briefly in WWE, he is gone and he looks like he is retiring from wrestling. I'm sure it's just things didn't go well for him, for one reason or another. I mean, what's to say who's the truth? There's three sides to every story. But we will see what comes of this. That I was a bit surprised that he would give up on the independent circuit as well. But maybe he just wasn't getting the bookings that he wanted. So we'll have to see how that goes. And there was definitely somebody else that got let go, and I'm just gonna drive me nuts now. So unfortunately, you're gonna have to follow this down this rabbit hole with me until I figure it out who it is. Let's see here. I'm sure there was a much more effective way of doing this, and there probably is, so I'm just gonna search it. All right. Let's see. All right. Oh, the Ascension. That's right. We finally say goodbye to Connor and Victor. Not sure what's going to happen with these guys. I don't really know in terms of their partnership if they were, if they're one of those guys that are going to try and go their separate ways. Or if they will, kind of join together and come up with a similar gimmick as the Ascension or not. It'd be interesting to see. I'm not really familiar with them outside of NXT and the quote unquote main roster, so we shall see what happens with them. All right, I've rambled on enough. Thank you very much, everyone, for taking the time to listen to me. Mark will be back after the break, and then we'll be back next week with our TLC review. Once again, thank you so much for joining. This is Kyle, and have yourselves a good day.
Thanks so much, Kyle. What is going on, everyone? Mark here from the PWO show, the Pro Wrestling Outsiders show. As you probably noticed by now, Kyle and I were not able to get together this week. Kyle was busy. I was also out of town for work. So this week didn't pan up like we hoped. However, hopefully next week, me and him will get back together again and kick things off as usual. But today, what I would really want to do is go over, you know, this past week in wrestling as usual. I'm not going to break down Raw and SmackDown specifically. I kind of want to go over some big highlights in the last week and then run through TLC. Also, we do still have Friday, a Friday's SmackDown on Fox episode. So there might still be some more matches added on. What could those be? I'll kind of give you guys my take. And of course, even when you're looking at the TLC lineup, there's some matches that have built to be, but aren't on the match, which I don't necessarily hate. You know, example of that that comes to mind is, you know, this past week, of course, week over week of Kevin Owens accusing Seth Rollins of being aligned with the AOP kind of came true. And the heel version of Seth Rollins that we're seeing right now is almost a Twitter version. He's very frustrated. He tweets a lot, and with his frustrations with the business or storylines or whatever it is. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of that, you know, real Seth on Twitter into WWE, and, you know, with his in-stage promo, especially this past week, talking about that, you know, he's always here night after night. He's putting everything on the line. However, it's never good enough for anyone. So that's kind of why he's aligning himself with people that also don't give a damn, because, you know, he doesn't give a damn. However, to react like that, he gives a damn. So that's kind of a match, Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, that I would assume maybe at TLC, but at the same time, not mad at it if it doesn't. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast for some time, you know, we're a big, you know, Kyle and I both are big fans of storylines, you know, being played out. And don't just throw the match together just to do it. And so if we're able to see this Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins storyline build a little bit more going into the end of the year, beginning of the new year, maybe even closer to the Royal Rumble, definitely not mad at it at all. So yeah, so let's kind of go into some news. I'm not going to break down every single segment like I usually do at Raw and SmackDown. Just some highlights. So I'll kind of go back and forth, as well as some things within and outside of the week. So really, when we kind of touch back on SmackDown, you know, one of the main highlights from last week was Daniel Bryan accepting another match with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, at TLC for the Universal Championship. However, we saw SmackDown end with The Fiend pulling Daniel Bryan down into the ground underneath the ring and pulling his hair out. That was crazy. You know, we've seen the pull under the ring before, but if it's happened, it's maybe once or twice ever, and it's been a while. But, you know, Daniel Bryan's got that, you know, that part of his character is his long, big beard and his long hair, and it was feasibly torn out. So what I'm kind of assuming is we may see a shaved head Daniel Bryan, you know, in the near future, maybe showing up against Bray Wyatt, or maybe helping Miz against Bray Wyatt, because as we now know, and I thought it was actually quite well done. You know, The Miz kind of came out and talking about how it's crazy what The Fiend is doing. He's breaking people. The Fiend, you know, kind of shows up with a little Firefly Funhouse segment on the Titantron, you know, holding a picture of, you know, The Miz's family and, you know, really threatening The Miz in that sense and targeting The Miz for trying to support Daniel Bryant and warn him against The Fiend. So it looks like, you know, The Fiend has kind of said, you know, Daniel Bryant, I took care of him last week. He ain't going to be able to make it. But I'm now going to attack and choose my next person I'm going to defend my title against, and that's you, Miz. You know, The Miz kind of left the ring, got on the phone with his wife, saying, like, hey, I love you. Or something, okay, I'm coming home, you know, because I want to make sure that everyone's okay. As he's leaving, he sees a little red room, kind of thinking, what is that? Is that where Bray is? Is that where he's holding the Firefly Funhouse, or is that just where he's located? He goes in, sees a photo of his family, but instead of The Miz being in the photo, it's Bray with Maryse and their kid. So very creepy, very eerie. But then The Fiend, well, Bray Wyatt, part of The Fiend, attacks The Miz, takes him out. Looks like we've now gotten, you know, The Miz will challenge for the Universal title this Sunday at TLC. I love that. Kyle and I are huge Miz fans. And it's kind of nice to see, even regardless of the outcome, that he's in that picture. Because The Miz, my God, if you love him or hate him, he puts the work in and outside of the ring. One of the best promos in the business, one of the hardest workers, and he deserves to be in a little bit of in the picture of a title, especially the world title, like the Universal title. So I'm very interested to see how that's going to turn out. I don't necessarily think The Miz will win. However, will we see maybe a deranged, upset, pissed off Bray Wyatt deranged, upset Daniel Bryan cost Bray Wyatt the Universal title? Who knows? Because if you kind of think, if The Fiend is going to lose, does he lose because of a factor, because of a circumstance, not being beat cleanly, but being beat because of an interference or, something in the way? We've seen a lot of roll-ups, especially with the 24/7 championship, but maybe with a surprise roll-up or something that causes an upset. And so I'm very interested to see, obviously my assumption is going to be that Bray will retain, The Fiend will retain the Universal title, but I'm very interested to see if we're going to get a little Daniel Bryan action trying to help The Miz along the way. So very interested to see where that's going to go. Of course, even in SmackDown, we've seen, some real life storylines kind of come in, the Dana Brooke Batista stuff. If you haven't been following, Dana Brooke and Batista has been flirting with each other on Twitter to hang out. Looks like Batista's very interested in Dana, and Dana's also very interested in Batista. They kind of talked about that over the last 2 weeks, with Drake Maverick trying to hit on Dana Brooke last week, almost like we were putting a mistletoe, trying to get a kiss, and Elias coming in and spoiling everything. This week, just the same, turned into Drake Maverick was really upset. You're embarrassing me. I love my wife. I challenge you to a fight. And then, of course, Elias comes into the ring and just destroys him, throws him around, picks him up from his belt, just humiliating him. Here's one thing I would love to see. If you don't know, Drake Maverick, also known as Rockstar Spud, is a great wrestler. He's a small guy, but he's really, really good. What I would have actually loved to have seen out of that segment was Elias maybe, picking him up from the belt, throwing him around, just whooping him, just humiliating him. But then all of a sudden, Drake just hits the ropes and starts getting over and impressing the crowd. Because the WWE Universe has not been introduced to the Drake Maverick that we know from the independents, from Impact Wrestling. Even though a lot of the time he's always been a comedic wrestler, he is a wrestler and he's not bad at all. So I kind of hope that's my put in a little pocket for maybe at some point down the road, that Drake kind of shows some of his skill and impresses someone that's trying to bully him the next time. Of course, as well on SmackDown, we saw a little elimination four-way with Shorty and Ali, Heavy Machinery, Metalik, and Dorado, and The Revival. The Revival won the shot for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against the New Day at TLC. Really good match. If you fast-forward through it, or if you didn't watch it, definitely watch it. Lots of false finishes, but also some sneaky, pulling of the tights, maneuvers, and some devilish, heelish moves from The Revival. But either which way, great match coming at TLC, The New Day, with not Xavier, but Kofi and Big E taking on The Revival for the Tag Team Championships. That's going to be a really good match. And that that four-man elimination tag on SmackDown was a really, really good match. And of course, we got the continuation build for what's going to be also at TLC, which is Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin. That's kind of been coming before Survivor Series, building even after. Baron, the heel, Roman the babyface. Really, Baron thinks he runs SmackDown. The reason why, and now he's even more upset that Roman was the sole survivor at Survivor Series. Kind of spoiled his plans, King Corbin's plans. So once again, that's been putting some good build into it. So, and especially with how much better Corbin's gotten in the ring, I think this is going to be a very underrated match. And of course, one other big highlight on SmackDown we did get was another Sheamus return promo. I'm a huge Sheamus fan. I'm really excited for him to come back. The big question is, when is he coming back? coming back at TLC, coming back at the Royal Rumble, coming, are they going to maybe just announce the when and where he's going to return? Who knows? But really, really excited for that. And of course, random news in between before going over to Raw. You know, John Morrison has re-signed a multi-year deal. Rumor is it's 5 with WWE. You know, very, very interesting. You know, John Morrison, if I'm remembering correctly, and guys, please correct me and keep me honest, a long time ago when he was in WWE, he left. He was very upset for many, many reasons, creative differences, but as well, you know, there was some tension between him and his ex, Melina. You know, he didn't want to resign to be in that environment at WrestleMania. One of his last WrestleMania, or his last WrestleMania, I believe it was LeCool and Dolph Ziggler versus Snooki, John Morrison, and Trish Stratus. Apparently, there was lots of heat and back and forth, and that kind of really deterred him from wanting to re-sign a deal. So he hit the independents and became a very successful independent wrestler. Lucha Underground, Impact Wrestling, all over the place. So very interesting to see him come back home to WWE, where you kind of would assume he would have been someone maybe AEW snatched up. But on WWE Backstage, it was definitely nicely announced that John Morrison has come back. He's coming back. I think WWE can use a great talent like him because there's so much new talent, which is great. And WWE is doing a really good job at not just continuously reusing older talent a little out of their prime. John is a great definition of someone who was never a world champion in WWE. He was a tag champion, Intercontinental champion, ECW champion. But very interesting to see how his return will go. So I really hope, once again, will we see him at TLC? Will we see him at Royal Rumble? I hope we kind of hear about his signing and then it kind of maybe dies down a little bit and don't have him come back unless the writers have something actually good for him. You know, maybe it's a good feud against someone. You know, ironically enough, he used to be, you know, tag team champions with The Miz. You know, there's lots of history with John Morrison, so I really hope that they do him right. They don't just kind of put him in and he's in these weird, funny tag teams and just teaming with people and losing. And, you know, I really hope that they actually do something right because John Morrison is amazing talent and he can be a really, really, really strong, good babyface for the business. Other side news, of course, unfortunately, Matt Hardy, you know, continues to lose on TV, on Raw. Now, interesting enough, so of course he lost again to Drew McIntyre this past Monday Night on Raw. I'm curious to think, is this just him fighting out his contract and then he'll leave? Because apparently his contract is up soon. Or is this WWE's way of maybe creating their own broken version of him? Maybe, you know, we see the original Matt Hardy back. He's in his Hardy gear. He looks in phenomenal shape, even in the ring, still doing a little bit of the delete. But maybe he continues to lose and he snaps. You know, I think there is still a chance for, you know, broken Matt Hardy here. Maybe not the top of the game, but somewhere. It's definitely worth exploring, and I really hope that they do. Because Matt Hardy is a great talent, he's a great mind. And I really, really hope that WWE finds something for him, whether it's a character or in the back. Because I think Matt Hardy, you know, once again, been following his career for a very, very long time. And he's overcome so much that I really hope that WWE does him justice and not just turn into some jobber on TV and then he's no longer with the company. You know what I mean? Kind of soiling who he was and who he is since his return a couple of years ago. So that brings us to Raw. So kind of getting into the Raw. So obviously there was lots going on Raw. But actually, sorry, a couple of more random points. Of course, we did hear this past week that and it's quite early to hear it, but 2 WWE Hall of Fame inductees, one being Batista, who apparently he said on Twitter, not apparently, sorry, he did, I saw it, that he would love Fit Finlay to induct him into the Hall of Fame if possible, which is kind of interesting. He's always had a great respect and close relationship with Fit Finlay, you know, growing and coming up into the business. You would kind of think maybe Ric Flair, you know, Triple H, you know, amongst the list of people who would, but I think Fit Finlay would be an amazing addition. And of course, the next ones are the NWO. the original NWO. Now, interesting to this point, so the inductees are Hulk Hogan, you know, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac. Very interesting for the X-Pac piece, because the X-Pac was not, the X-Pac, X-Pac was not a part of the original, sorry, he was a part of the original early versions of the NWO, but he wasn't a part of the original three. So very interesting on how they kind of put him in there. Because when you actually go back, I was watching a an episode of Wrestle Talk, it's actually really hard to find segments with X-Pac in the NWO. So it goes to show that he wasn't, you know, he was a part of the NWO, and then he left and went back to WWE and rejoined the Generation X and all that stuff. So, I don't know, very interesting. Don't get me wrong, love Sean Waltman, very well deserved. He'll be a two-time Hall of Fame holder, because he was in DX just last year in the Hall of Fame. So, but very interesting. I don't know. I think there could have been a moment for just, Hogan, Hall, and Nash, because that is the trio of the NWO that kind of changed wrestling for what we know it to way back in the late 90s. Also, there was some cuts this past week. Sin Cara, Ascension, and Luke Harper were all released by WWE. Apparently, from what I've heard, and once again, guys, keep me honest, Luke Harper and Sin Cara did ask for their release, and they were granted it. This was Harper's second ask for a release, where he wasn't given it the last time. And Ascension, I didn't hear that they asked for their release, but they did get it. You know, so best of luck to those guys. Who knows where they're going to show up? You know, maybe Sin Cara, you know, somewhere in the independents. You know, I can kind of see maybe a Luke Harper being used in AEW. And what I really, really hope is the Ascension takes this opportunity to rebrand themselves, because they are great. They are great competitors. They're great in the ring. Just the gimmick never took. It really was the true Legion of Doom, Demolition, smash together that ended up being the Ascension. So, you know, good luck to all those guys. You know, definitely excited to see where they're going to end up, you know, next in their career. And once again, if you've heard something and they've shown up somewhere already, let us know. Also, two very interesting, and once again, this is a rumor, but apparently by Pro Wrestling Sheet confirmed that there was two superstars suspended for 30 days. One was Primo of the Colognes, which is quite ironic because I actually didn't even remember he was with the WWE still. Apparently he is, and he's got a violation for the wellness program. And apparently Robert Roode was also suspended for 30 days for violating the wellness program in WWE. You know, once again, speculation. It's what the rumors are out there. Really hope, you know, both of them, whatever it is, and you never know, because you guys have heard, you know, it's not always saying that because you got a suspension, it means you took steroids. You know, because I know that's what goes to a lot of people's heads when they think of, you know, suspension or, you know, a violation of some sorts. But even in WWE, it can be marijuana. It can be a lack of communication on medication that is properly prescribed by a doctor, but you didn't communicate with WWE properly. So who knows what it is? I didn't hear what it is. So more to come, and we'll kind of touch on it as we get more news. But once again, just like for the people who were released, Primo, Roode, you know, best of luck in any recovery, or if not any recovery, hopefully to see you back soon, especially Robert Roode, big Robert Roode fan. And hopefully he can get back on track to where he has been lately. Because just last week, he had a stellar killer match with Roman Reigns, which was pretty, pretty cool. Apparently, Vicky Guerrero was found tweeting backstage at AEW this past week, or within the last week, and apparently she commentated a AEW dark match. So, very interesting. You know, usually when you see, you know, people that sign legend contracts, they don't, I don't know, I guess it'd be very interesting. She was on a table of an episode of Table for Three. You know, you've seen her kind of come in and out, joining the, you know, the Women's Royal Rumble. So I always thought she had a healthy relationship with WWE. So very interesting to see her in AEW. But once again, what are they going to do with her? Commentary is going to be a regular thing. Was it a one-time thing? Who knows? All right, what else to kind of break down on Raw? So, of course, big call-outs on Raw. Big things to call out on Raw. Sami Zayn, the SmackDown, brand Sami Zayn showed up on Raw as he looks like he is now the manager of Mojo Rawley. Mojo was kind of found backstage making fun of Kevin Owens when Kevin was asking where the AOP were. Got smacked by Kevin Owens. Then Sami Zayn comes out kind of confronting, like, who are you? Like, to smack, and then, of course, he got the stunner. That was really the end of that segment. So, very interesting to see that Sami is potentially now on both Raw and SmackDown, as apparently he has a managerial card that brings him to both. So, once again, didn't take too long to break the whole brand split piece, but I guess when you're a manager, a true manager, maybe that's the exception to the rule. So, of course, we as well saw the continued build between what's going to be at TLC with Charlotte and Becky versus the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Championship. Just like Charlotte did last week in the 2-on-1 handicap match, Becky did the same, ended a disqualification. Interesting enough, what I think is this could be a build to more Charlotte versus Becky. I feel someone's going to turn on someone, whether they win the titles or not. Only because of their past. Their past is so crazy. But now you're in a position where you're gonna go for the tag belts together. I don't know. That one, there's a little asterisk on that one for me. Where is it gonna go? I don't know. But I am waiting for a potential surprise or a twist in some way, shape, or form. And of course, yeah, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but for weeks and weeks, and even this past Monday on Raw, Kevin Owens, he's convinced, he knows Seth Rollins is with the AOP. He knew it. He knew it all along. Ray gave him a baton as a nice, second man, Kevin being like, hey, Ray, I don't need your help, man. Like, I want you to stay out of it. This is my battle. I appreciate you. I love you. Ray gives him the bat that he tried to use to beat Brock Lesnar with. Kevin's in the ring, Seth is in the ring, Seth is kind of trying to be like, let's take them on together. Kevin has nothing to do with it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Literally, that's it. No, I'm going to do it myself. I don't trust you. You're with them. And then Seth is like, fine, you know what? Do it on your own. I'm done. I'm tired of trying to help you. Kevin goes to the back, finds the van, beats the van, starts pulling everything out. AOP, pulls him back, throws him against, the gate, smashes his head against the back door, for then a chair in the back of the van turns around with someone in a black hood, lifts it up, and it's Seth Rollins. Gives him the curb stomp right there on the cement, kind of comes out and does a little rant saying, it's your guy's fault that I'm like this. I put my heart and soul into everything and you don't appreciate me. That's why I am the way that I am. And that's why I'm acting this way. So, very interesting. It hasn't been announced at TLC that we're going to get a Seth versus Kevin Owens. However, once again, I think that's something you can kind of put in your pocket for a little later. Continue building it because that can be a hell of a match. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens with AOP and Seth Rollins corner. So, I guess, funny enough, you see people online saying, is this going to be like the new version of the Shield? Are they going to do the Shield, fist bump, raise into the middle? I don't think so, personally. I think it would actually be really lame and really bad if they do. But at the same time, it kind of happened. And funny enough, AOP goes, off TV for so long. And then since being back over the last couple of weeks, they're now in some sort of a main roster, main storyline with Seth, two of the biggest stars in the business, Seth and Kevin. So very interesting to see how AOP will handle themselves, how they'll be a part of any storylines, how they'll, how will they support Seth? And is Seth their leader? Will they tolerate listening to Seth? Or are they wild, wild guns and just going to kind of go and do their own thing? And even though Seth is on their side or they're on Seth's side, will they not hesitate to turn their back AOP on Seth Rollins, if the moment was right? So very interesting, lots of unanswered questions in that sense. Last couple of things on Raw, of course, it's been months and they are committed to it. We did kick off Raw with a divorce court with Jerry the King Lawler. Ironically enough, quite fitting. I think Jerry's been divorced two or three times himself. So it was a divorce contract signing with Lana and Rusev. Lana, I think she got a lot of heat for her promo, mainly because it was very whiny, but I think that was the point. It was very loud, obnoxious, whiny, you know, just aggravated, like, it's the WWE Universe's fault and your fault that we're not together anymore. Almost hinting that, almost as if Lana wants to be with Rusev, but it's Rusev's fault that they're not. That was the first time it was ever a big inkling, almost seeming this wasn't Lana's decision. But either which way, you know, Rusev was very happy. He's got a little suit jacket on, his little Donald Duck shirt. And of course he said, you know what? I'm going to sign it first. Lana was like, nope, I'm going to sign it first. And then Rusev said, there is one thing I want in order to sign this. I want a match against Bobby Lashley. You know, so after weeks and weeks and weeks, a couple of months of this whole storyline being very cringy and weird and odd, WWE stuck with it. Bobby, Lana, Rusev stuck with it. And I'll tell you, you got to give them props for that. Whether you absolutely hate it or you love it, you got to give some kind of credit to, you know, to these guys making something so weird and odd actually somewhat entertaining, you know. And it kind of had everyone's, I think you see online, I think people are finally actually going to go like, wow, it's going to be Rusev versus Bobby Lashley at TLC. Is this the end? You know, funny enough, it would have been funny if the kind of the stipulation was like the winner gets Lana, you know, and I'm kind of happy it didn't go that way. Or Lana on a pole match, you know, just like back in the day, you know, Judy Bagwell on the pole. But no, I think it's interesting. You know, it's this whole storyline has been nothing but rated R raw sexual tension, heat, you know, very deceiving, lots of lying, lots of truth, lots of, you know, just it's literally a soap opera, sloppy relationship is what this is. And I'm interested in this match because, number one, I think Rusev and Bobby Lashley will have a great match. But what I'm actually interested in is, after this match, is that it? Is there anywhere else to go? Or is this one of many matches? You know, one of many, many matches down the line. Because if you kind of, you know, if this match goes right, you know, whether Rusev or Bobby Lashley wins, you know, what is it? You know, if Bobby wins, he gets Lana, they'll just continue to be together and Rusev will do his own thing? Or will there be a reconciliation of Lana? Or maybe Lana was, you know, rusing Lashley the whole time. You know, and maybe Rusev wins because Lana helps him. And this was a way just to make fun of Bobby the whole time. Who knows? You know, it could be nothing, or we could get a huge swerve near the end of the year in 2019. So I know you guys might be listening to this and going, oh, shut up, Mark. Like, this is, don't even give any time about the storyline. Like, just move on. But I'm telling you guys, it's topical. I don't love it, but they've got me engaged. They've absolutely got me engaged, and I'm interested to see where it goes from here. So, last part, big highlight on Raw was apparently a little bit of a botch ending to Raw. Now, when I say botch ending, it wasn't a performer botched, but apparently, for those watching on many different platforms, the very ending of Raw was cut off, and apparently the cutoff was due to time constraints. WWE is such pros at television that they rarely ever go past time. But apparently near the end, once when Randy Orton kind of was jumping in at the end, the main event was Rey Mysterio versus AJ Styles. There was a little cutoff part where, you know, Randy was coming into the ring and then the show ends. They did, for those of you who do want to see the actual ending, WWE did put it on their YouTube page, so you can see the actual end segment of that match. But a little funny, right? Like, they don't usually run over time. Crazy to hear and see everyone's like, oh, what a botch, botchamania. Oh, that, like, come on, guys. You know, these guys have been doing weekly television, live television, forever, for almost 30 years, you can make a mistake. Like, come on. And I get it, those who are watching it and that are invested, especially in a great match like AJ and Rey Mysterio, especially with Randy Orton and AJ storyline itself starting to boil up more. I get it. Like, it's not convenient at all to get cut off, but I would say just give them a break. You know, like, botch. WWE's brutal. They should fire the people and the producer, whoever produced and whoever was in the truck, whoever was writing that segment. Vince McMahon is out of touch. Like, the comments I've seen online just because of this are pretty brutal. Number one, they do things that most of us could never, ever do. So let's just be a little easy on WWE for a very rare mistake that happens. So, but let's just see. I think that's it, guys. That's Raw and SmackDown in a highlighting nutshell for me in regards to Hall of Fame, cuts, suspensions, things that have happened, things that I've heard, storyline continuations, and everything else. So that kind of leaves me to a very quick jump to the last segment that I'll be doing today, which is the WWE TLC breakdown. So I know I kind of cheated a bit, so I'll make this segment short and sweet where, as we were talking about, you know, Raw and SmackDown, I kind of touched base on the TLC matches. But in no particular order, I'll kind of get into what I think will happen. So number one, like I said, we still have Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, where it could still add more matches. It could still add an Intercontinental match with Shinsuke Nakamura, who knows. But we might still have something more, because as of right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's only 7 matches at TLC. Now, don't get me wrong, 7 matches is fine, but WWE has been stacking their pay-per-views pretty heavy lately, so. In no particular order, one thing we do know is the Viking Raiders will have an open challenge for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Who's going to be the open challenge? I personally don't know. You know, when I kind of think of teams, you know, the Street Profits had a really good show this past week, but I don't think a mysterious open challenge at a pay-per-view, it being the same people who they just defeated, would be the right choice. That would actually be pretty boring and disappointing. My take is, I don't know who, but here's my prediction. It'll actually be someone called up from NXT or NXT UK, or a debuting team. You know, it could easily be, you know, who knows, maybe it's the OC, you know, the brothers, you know, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. But I think it's going to be a surprise. Maybe Viking Raiders still retain, because I don't know who it is, but I think this open challenge will be because it's either a team we haven't seen in a long time returning, or a called-up team from NXT. I don't know who, though. I've been thinking about it all day. I can't actually think of who it will be. Next up, this one's been built for many, many weeks. We've got Aleister Black taking on Buddy Murphy. That one will be interesting. I really do hope that after this, Aleister Black kind of gets away a little more from this behind the door. Someone challenged me to a fight. And it was really disappointing to not see Aleister Black as a part of Survivor Series, as I think Aleister Black, especially when he first came into the main roster and he was with Ricochet, you know, they were that awesome tag team. Just, he was great. He's got a great personality. He's a great storyteller. He's amazing in the ring. He's got a very unique look. He's a huge guy. I think there could be so much more done with Aleister Black. I think Aleister Black, of course, wins, because Buddy Murphy's been talking a lot of crap, kind of thinking that Aleister Black is no one special. So I think Aleister Black, you're going to see the Fade to Black kick right to the face, probably not too long. It's probably going to be a very short match. But then the big question is, where do we go from here? I really feel they need to utilize Aleister Black a little more, because he's someone that can fit well with anyone. We do have the Kabuki Warriors defending their Women's Tag Team Championships against Becky and Charlotte. What I think is Becky and Charlotte are the new Women's Tag Team Champions. But then as Tag Team Champions, they become conflicted. Charlotte wants the belt. She wants the Raw Women's Championship. And it turns into a champion versus champion match, where even though it's for the Raw Women's Championship, they're both tag team champions. We kind of saw that a long time ago with Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin, where they won the tag belts together, but then they faced each other for the world title. That was a very interesting storyline that we haven't seen. And if done well, I've seen it done, you know, very, very well in the past. So I think there's a good opportunity to do it. However, once again, I don't think this is just Becky and Charlotte or besties again, sipping tea, you know. But here's the thing. If they are, they need to be. They can't be this distant, we used to be best friends, we're champions together. If they're truly back together, I think we need to see Becky and Charlotte like just forgive each other, you know, hug, shake hands, whatever, you know, call it a truce and be together and be a force. But if we don't see that, I really feel that this is the build to, you know, because you've been seeing it being very competitive. Charlotte, you know, I can do 2-on-1. Very interesting. Well, why don't you just ask Becky, why don't you just challenge the Kabuki Warriors to a match that night? You know, to get a little preview to what's going to maybe be at TLC, maybe a non-title match. But no, Charlotte wanted to show that she can beat them 2-on-1, and then the next week, Becky. So we've been seeing this very competitive, you know, pull back and forth between Becky and Charlotte, which that's why I feel it's going to turn into something more between the two later on. And of course, as we talked about, we got Rusev versus Bobby Lashley in a tables match. Very interesting. I don't know for certain, but I'm going to stick with what I said before. Rusev wins, Lana swerves us all, and it was all a ruse. And turns Rusev and Lana into big heels, helps turn Bobby Lashley into a baby face, and it can continue, or it's just now Rusev and Lana are laughing at everyone because they're so good. New Day versus The Revival for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I think The Revival will be the new Tag Team Champions on SmackDown. New Day, you know, defeated them randomly before going into the Survivor Series. I think The Revival, the New Day, no matter what win or losses, they don't get hurt. They've developed such a great faction and a great consistency in who they are as performers that they don't need a title. The Revival, not saying that they need a title, but they are one of the best damn tag teams. You know, heel or babyface. So put the belts on them again. Let them walk around with some good heel heat. Put it in everyone's face that they're the tag team championships, the tag team champions, and go from there. Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin in a TLC match. So it's a tables, ladders, and chair match. I think Baron Corbin is going to walk away with the win on this one. I don't think it'll be clean. I think, you know, whether it's Dolph Ziggler or someone else is going to help Corbin get the victory, which will then continue the storyline, because then Baron, you know, right now Roman can put it in Corbin's face, you know, you didn't last in the, you know, the 5-on-5-on-5 Survivor Series match with Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. I was the sole survivor. Baron can get one up on Roman and put it in his face. I'm the better competitor. I beat Roman Reigns. And then lastly, for the main event, Bray Wyatt and The Fiend versus The Miz for the Universal Championship. I got to stick with what I said earlier. You know, I feel Bray is going to retain. However, what I predicted earlier is what I think would be really cool would be you see Daniel Bryan, whether it's a shaved head or his hair's pulled out, you see Daniel Bryan come and help The Miz defeat Bray Wyatt. And The Miz is the new Universal Championship. New Universal Champion. Now, I know they need to be careful, because I feel everyone would love to see The Miz as the world champion. I just don't think they would want to see him beat The Fiend for it. That's where I think it needs to be carefully done, because it's a real big way to get The Miz booed, you know, and hated, to go, we wanted The Fiend, we wanted Bray Wyatt to be the champion. We didn't want you to be the one to beat him. So I really think the likely outcome is Bray Wyatt retains, but I think we're going to see Daniel Bryan have some kind of say in maybe the outcome, or at least have presence at TLC. All right, folks, that's it for me today. I'm going to stop this, upload the podcast, but I wanted to thank you guys once again for, you know, always supporting us, always having our backs. You know, Kyle and I really do appreciate, you know, all of the love and support. And we're not the biggest podcast in the world, but we do produce this for you guys. And there's lots of you guys out there that support us and, you know, say such kind things about our podcast, our topics, and you guys keep us honest, which we really appreciate. So hope you guys have a great, you know, holiday season. You know, just in a couple of weeks, we got Christmas, but hopefully next week, Kyle and I will get together and maybe do one more podcast before potentially a Christmas break. But if all works well, maybe we'll try to get one in there during the holiday season. But no, once again, guys, my name is Mark. You've been listening to the PWO show, the Pro Wrestling Outsider show, and I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.